Blog Talk Radio.
I would like to greet my listening audience in the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum. Brothers and sisters who are listening, I guess it's only a few tonight. I only sent out a few. I'm scheduled to speak for about 45 minutes, but to be very honest, I'm going to cut it short tonight. And then I'll go into the deeper on Thursday. What I would like to start out is start from the beginning. I've been going through a lot of different commentaries of the Quran and verses, but I want to talk about the first four verses of the Holy Book, the first chapter, Al-Fatiha. And before I start, let me just say, Alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanaka lahumma wa bihamdi anta. Astaghfirullah atubu ilayh. My brothers and sisters, tonight, I'm speaking in the authority to believers. If you're sitting on the fence of this deen, this conversation is for you too. But it's really talking to the believers, not the ignorant believers, but the believers. So we want to talk about, there's what we call four divine graces. And Allah talks to us and tells us in the Quran. He starts out by saying that the fountainhead of Allah's names, Rabbubiyyah, in his first attribute, Rabbil Alameen. Rabbil Alameen means the creator, the evolver, the nourisher, sustainer of all the worlds, the cosmos, the worlds of spheres and planets and life in all forms of spirits. And it says they are spirits of knowledge and other realm nominated, such as the paradise, the jannah, the hellfire, the angels, anything that comes under the way or the sway of Allah's holy intention, al-iradat al-muqaddas, and his divine knowledge, al-alim, are all part of alam al-kabir, the microcosm. Every form of creation, brothers and sisters, living or non-living, with forms or without forms, comes under the sway of Allah's Rububiyyah. All bodies were manifest and are and still being manifest through it, and are, and it says, and were evolved and still evolved through it. This grace is the very origin of the universe, brothers and sisters. Where it is withdrawn for even in an instant, the universe would end. And had it not been for this grace, there would have been no creation. Therefore, the creation of Rububiyyah ranks above all other graces because it came into manifestation before all other graces were manifest. Even after the creation of the universe, the need for this grace remains insistent in every moment, just as if Allah had not yet created anything. His Rububiyyah continues to develop all objects of his creation. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, talks about our Lord, our word is, it says, our word to a thing would be, our word to a thing when we intend it to come into being is only that we say to it be, and it comes to be. This is in Surah 16, verse 40. You can also look at Surah 2, verse 117. Thus his, he says, thus his first word is the word be. All objects of creation and the truth of obedience to the command be. Through your faculty and imagination, every impossible thing is possible through him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Still, he brings into existence whatever he desires to his eternal perfect knowledge, his will, and his merciful intention. He desires all existing things. He does not utter the command unless he desires and intends to it. Allah's creation is of two kinds. Firstly, the creation prior to his existence, giving command B, and the creation before the divine command B is in his eternal knowledge, and we are not given any knowledge of it. The second creation is the one that comes into existence after the existence giving command B. With this command, he brings into existence forms which is in the state of non-existence. Now, this may sound very, very difficult for some of us to grasp. But I'm talking to the one who holds on to this truth with a handhold that will never break. I'm talking to the one who believes in all aspects of the religion. I'm also talking to the one who is constantly aware that Allah is the creator of all life. That this one, male or female, relies on Allah for everything. The very existence of his being, her being, their family, community, society, nation exists because Allah desires for it to exist. That's it, period. So it says the second creation is the one that comes into existence with the existence giving command B. With this, non-existence was nothing less pre-existing in his knowledge. Moments of time are connected only to the existing things, but his knowledge about them is from eternity, without any beginning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Allah is the originator of the heavens and the earth, possessor of knowledge of this unseen and the seen. He starts the cycle of creation and then continues it. He originates the entities and forms from his sacred intention in accordance with his merciful knowledge. Then with his command B, he brings forth the living out of the lifeless, and he brings forth the lifeless out of the living. B shall be his command to bring forth the day of judgment. SubhanAllah. According to Ali ibn Abi Talib and other people of reflection, thus was the first universal reality. And he originated the creation of human beings from clay, dust. Then Allah manifests himself to that dust through his light. Written this dust was the entire cosmos, is the potentiality and readiness, which is Salahiyah. Ibn al-Arabi said, the origin of creation was the cloud of dust, which came into existence from known reality al-Haq, who is described neither by what is existence nor by what is non-existence. He manifests himself through his light, Allah says, to the dust, which contained the entire universe in potentiality and relativeness, and which is what they say, al-hayyula al-qul. Each thing in that dust received from his light, in accordance with his preparedness. By bringing his light and the dust together, Allah made a mixture, and something of the one entered into the other. Then there is a constant change from one state to the other, outwardly and inwardly. It says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah 41, verse 11, he says, he directed himself towards the space, heaven. Behold, it was like a mass of gas. God said to it, the space, and to the earth, dust, come both of you in obedience to me, willingly or unwillingly. He said, we obey you in all, he says, we obey you with all our will. This is what the earth the heavens, the space, and the dust, the earth, Allah commanded them to come together, and they did what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said with no question. After Allah brought the masses of gas and the dust together, there was a process of separation. The heavens and the earth were once one mass, all closed up. Then he rent them apart. Was this renting apart the Big Bang, or was it unrolling of the cosmos, like unrolling the scrolls, as the following verse indicates? No. This is the day when we shall roll up the heavens like a rolling up of the written scrolls by a scribe. Just as we started the process of the first creation, so shall we produce it. This is a promise binding on us. We shall certainly bring it about. From this verse, which describes the day of judgment, you can infer the mystery of the beginnings of creation, the mystery behind the Big Bang. Creation was an unrolling of heavens, like the unrolling of the written scrolls of a book. The rolled scrolls have the potential of energy which when enrolled, is let loose. How was the cosmos created? Did the initial expansion of the so-called Big Bang resemble an unrolling of scrolls as indicated in verse 21-104? The scientific quest for the fundamental laws of nature has always resulted in unification. The laws of fall and the laws of planetary motion were unified into one theory of gravity, and the apparent so distinct phenomenon of electricity and magnetism are but two aspects of a unified electromagnetism. The theory of relativity has unified several ideas, intertwining time and space, energy and mass, and more physics have come a long way in their quest for a unified theory of all physical laws. It is a futile to explain the Holy Quran by relying on scientific findings, which itself is continuously evolving. Nevertheless, this unremarkable reference to the unitary origin of the universe describes here as the heavens and the earth striking anticipates the view of almost all modern astrophysicists that the universe originated in a single unity or entity from one single element. Then Allah says, would you really disbelieve in him who created the earth in two eons of time period which we cannot reckon? And do you set up compeers with him, partners with him? He alone is the Lord of the worlds. He placed there in the earth firm mountains rising above its surface and showering it with his blessings, and place in it various provisions according to a set measure, provisions in which all of those who require them have equal rights, and all of this he created in four eons. This is Surah 41, verse 9 to 10. Allah also says in that same verse, same chapter, so he ordained them seven heavens and two eons, and assigned to each heaven his relative function, which he decked the nearest heaven with lamps shining stars for light, and made it to guard. Such is the decree of the Almighty, the All-Knowing. Thus, there was a continuous evolution in cosmic creations. The following verse points to the great upheavals and violent agitations that led to the formation of the mountains before human beings existed on earth. And Allah says, and we have made firm mountains on the earth so that they may be a source of benefit and provision for the people, unless it should quake with them. And we made on it wide pathways that people may find their guidance to reach the goal. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to stop there. talk about how Allah decided to do this without any decision from man. Allah says in the Quran that man, he thinks he's himself self-sufficient. In reality, in reference to his small mind, because we all, I don't care how intelligent you may think you are, but you have a small mind compared to the divine mind of Almighty God, Allah. You must come to the realization that you are limited, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unlimited. That Allah is all, with him is all eternity, and you have a specific term to be here, and then you must move on. People are afraid. Well, Allah says in the Quran also, every soul, Allah said this, every soul shall taste death. It did not say every human being will die. It said every soul. That's a creation that Almighty God Allah put into the flesh body for a particular time. But that soul is everlasting because that's something that Allah created. Allah used this body that we live in and we're talking and we're communicating and all of that for a period of time for us who are so blessed to come into this life to bear witness of Allah's greatness. But also we're here to do one and one thing only is to worship Allah in the best manner. That's our job as human beings. And the jinn also that was created before us, their job is to worship Allah, to put Allah first. So brothers and sisters, let's not get it twisted is that we think this is all about us, because it is not all about us. It's all about Almighty God Allah. The mountains owe their rise to the gradual balancing process to which the solid crust in the earth is subjected. The mountains are like pegs, symbols of the firmness and relative equilibrium that the surface of the earth has gradually achieved in the course of the geological history. It's geological history. It's cosmic space, in cosmic space, are aggregations of matter which form planets, stars, nebula, and galaxies. Very little was known of biology in those days, but the Holy Quran is the clearest term speaks of water as being where life originated, and water as an essential requirement for life. Oh yes, this is why when we talk and talk about the basics part of the religion, we always start with wudu. You may ask the question, why are you starting with wudu? Why are you always talking about wudu? Why are you talking about ablution? In order for you to communicate with Allah, first of all, you must purify yourself. You must purify your intentions with dua, asking Allah for grace. And you must purify your body to receive the light of what Allah wants to give to you, if in fact, if he wants to give it to you at all. But you start out by making wudu. Now allow yourself to be foul. So brothers and sisters, let's remember that. Every time you get ready to pick up the book of Allah, make wudu. Every time you get ready to make your salat, make wudu. Even though you may think that you are in wudu, make a fresh wudu. Because the more clean you are, the more you'll be able to receive the divine wisdom of Almighty God Allah. Allah says, and it is from water that we created all life. The Holy Quran is not a thesis on science. It merely refers to certain phenomena in nature to elucidate the principles of underlying nature. Since the Holy Quran comes with the present, all-knowing Allah, it cannot impart wrong knowledge. So, brothers and sisters, the knowledge that we receive from the Quran is not wrong knowledge. It is correct knowledge. It's the individual who reads the knowledge and perceives what is not really there. Allah says in the Quran, they say they believe, but they really don't believe, and yet they don't perceive that they don't believe. I'll say that again. Allah says, they say they believe, but they really don't believe. And yet they don't even perceive that they don't believe. They're not even aware that they don't believe. They think they believe, but they really don't believe. This is Allah saying this. We see people each and every day thinking that they're on the haq. They establishing the deen of Allah. They're doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say do. But in reality, they're not on the haq. They're doing something else on an individual basis. They're living a life that is a lie. And they're constantly living this life thinking that they're doing right. But yet, they're not really doing right or doing anything because they're living a fantasy. So, it says here, coming into being from non-existence into development from the crudest form on his way to perfection is through the manifestation of his race, Rabbubiyyah. Under the ever-present eye of the Rabbubiyyah, you can see the stage for the wise development of living things in their respective spheres. Then he tells us that Then he tells us the developmental stages of human origin from dust to the embryonic stages. Allah says in the Quran, Surah 23, verse 12 and 14, he says, we created a human being from an exact of clay, extract clay, pardon me. Then we reduced him to a strop of sperm and placed him in a safe depository, a womb of a woman. Then we give the sperm, or we form the sperm. Pardon me, not give. We form the sperm. Man don't do this. Allah does this. Then we form the sperm into a clot of congealed blood, a clot that is going to hold. It holds onto the wall of the mother. Then we develop the clot into a lump of flesh. Then we fashion bones out of the lump of flesh. Then we clothe the bones with flesh. Thereafter, we... Subhanallah, sorry, get to the next page. We involve him into another being. Therefore, blessed is Allah, the best of creators. The prophet, this is the tafsir of this verse. Allah's prophet, Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he explains this in saying that in the beginning of man's creation, or in the beginning of the sperm and the egg coming together, there's a period of 40 days for this development into a lump of flesh. Then another form of this lump of flesh is another form of 40 days, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. This is, so he said this over 1438 years ago from the Quran. He said that it takes on another stage of 40 days of bending and forming and coming together. And then it takes on another 40 days to become complete, individual to receive what Allah says in this, talking about, therefore, blessed be Allah, the best of creators, saying that he will evolve him into another being. On the 120th day of the existence of this being, Allah sends an angel. Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, sends an angel with four things, and one of those things is he sends the angel with the man or the woman's soul. And we're not going to go into this because we can teach hours on this particular part of it, but we're just going to say that the soul is put in this human being, this flesh that Allah is creating in 120 days. And at that point, the child becomes a human being. Now, the man in his small mind, still, after all of this time, thinks that a child is only born when a child comes out of the womb. But a child is born within that womb and is placed there to develop everything it needs to develop so that it can become a complete human being. It takes another, we'll say, it says in the eighth or ninth month, and the baby is ready to be delivered. But it also, even if it comes early, it also, Allah has allowed some of us, some of the individuals, to last outside the womb. They're called preemies, premature birth, they claim. But it really only happens because Allah decided when it's going to happen. It's not the woman's decision when it's going to come. It's not the man's decision when it's going to come. It is Allah. That means every soul, every individual comes in with this knowledge, the correct knowledge of Almighty God Allah. Then Allah goes on and says in the Quran that the father, the child, pardon me, is created on the fitra of Almighty God Allah. But the child now is taught by his parents what that child claims to believe in. Either he's taught to be a Jew, he's taught to be a Christian, or he's taught to be a Muslim. Only Allah makes and brings the individuals that he desires to come into the life-giving teachings of Islam. So don't get angry when you see people, oh, that person say they were Muslim, but they changed. Or that person say he with their religion, but they change. People change like they change their socks. They change things because they're not grounded into the knowledge of this religion. The reason why sisters are going back and forth, they put their hijab on, they take their hijab off, they put their hijab on, they take their hijab off. It's not because of, it's something that is inside of them they're struggling with putting on their hijab. Men struggling with putting on the thobe. Men struggle with trying to learn the religion. And if they allow themselves to be influenced by the shaitan, they'll run themselves right into the hellfire. But Allah, the creator of all life, just as he created them from the beginning, Allah is the one who really makes the Muslim. So brothers and sisters, and then also Allah is one who makes the believer. Because Allah opens up the Muslim's heart, which is the intellect, the seed of intellect. He opens up that heart to Islam. I was listening to a brother who's also a teacher, who said about the heart. One time in the time of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you didn't have to separate the heart and the intellect. Because the heart says that the seed of intelligence is in the heart. But now, when all of the things that we're dealing with in man thinking that he's self-sufficient, you separate the intellect from the heart. You put the intellect over here, man think that his intellect is more superior than someone else's intellect. And don't realize that everything that he receives and everything that he gets and everything that he piles up is from Allah. But Allah says, don't keep on piling up the things of this world, because it will divert you from the more serious thing until you visit the grave. And when you visit the grave, then the reality of piling up those things that you see in the world have distracted you so much that you don't know you're coming or going. And when you are set up in that grave and you'll ask these questions, you won't be able to answer the questions. But that is for another time, inshallah. We're going to stay on point today. So remember, these divine words describe the working out of a grand scheme through millions of years in order to bring life into the current shape. So don't think that life just started 6,000 years ago. This is a conversation that people have, but Allah has been working on this thing for eons. We just came on the planet after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I was listening to a hadith. Brother was explaining that 4 days before the Prophet, 4 days before the Prophet's death, he came to a particular brother and told the brother that Allah came to me and I was asked, do I want to stay? He said he would give me the keys of this dunya and the ability to stay in this doing this for as long as I want to stay in this doing it. Or he will allow me to come into the agenda. Now, we know what a lot of people said that this particular hadith was authentic and in Bukhari. And I'm not going to go through where is it at, because this is for us to research the knowledge of this religion to try to get this understanding. But he was given the opportunity, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he chose to go from this world. And everyone there was, oh no, the brother was there, oh, stay with us, Prophet, oh Prophet, stay with us. But he decided to choose Allah. That's why he's one, you know, they say, friend of Allah, just as Ibrahim is the friend of Allah, because he felt that he did his job. He fulfilled his job, and he was able to move on. And he passed at the age of 63. He didn't stay here long. Some of us are blessed to stay here longer than that. Some of us are going to leave here around that time. Only Allah knows. Allah is most gracious and most merciful. But let us understand it is a Allah's decision to bring us in this life, and it's definitely Allah's decision to take us out of this life. Evolution did not replace Allah. Evolution is the process the Creator has used to bring life into being and into its perfection. The impressions of divine design are overwhelming everywhere in the creation. Now remember, I'm only talking about the first, and we won't be able to do all four of them tonight. I'm only talking about the first grace of mercy of Almighty God Allah. And it says, the impressions of divine design are overwhelming everywhere in the creation. In the scientific framework, it is not feasible to keep track of every gamma ray causing some mutation. This lack of knowledge or lack of control is as coincidence and unavoidable consequence of this practical restriction is that you can make only punctual local observations which must be patched together. It is their failure to patch them together which leads atheists to believe that evolution is supposedly random, and as they reason, whatever the process of evolution brings forth must therefore be without higher purpose. This is a person who's only connected to his so-called intelligence, thinking that, oh, this is just a random thing and no one controls this. And brothers and sisters, we know who believe in Allah and his messenger know that this is a falsehood. They fail to see the divine law through the universe is purposely, and even the tiniest, most subtle change of state only happens in accordance with his law, his will, and his command. Almighty God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The care of the universe tires him not, Allah says in the Quran, in Surah 2, verse 255. In the sense of an event that occurs surprisingly, unintentionally, or without control, caused by us to your lack of knowledge or power in some way or another. However, such a notion cannot exist for all knowing being who stands above in the time that he created. Evolution is no different from any other process in the universe. Powers working in the universe are not operating by themselves, but divine power operates through them. All the qualities and capabilities and capacities with which the celestial bodies and earthly elements are temporarily invested are but a reflection of the divine power and attributes internally possessed by Allah, the Supreme Almighty God, Creator of all life. There is nothing in the teachings of the Holy Quran that is hostile or contradictory to established scientific truths. And the statements in the Holy Quran on nature and creation are clear, requiring no lengthy explanation or hedging interpretations. It is a never-ending creation. There is no stillness whatever in the cosmos. There is a constant change from one state to another, outwardly and inwardly, a change that you may or may not perceive. Every moment, he manifests himself in a new state. The states come and go, and the changes leave their fate traces. The entire cosmos refuses to stay still, and the Rububiyat is in operation all the time over his entire creation. At no time is the universe deprived of the benefit of his Rububiyat, which is he is the Lord of all the worlds. Wow, subhanAllah. No doubt, the cosmos itself is a proof of his names and his attributes. We cannot say about the cosmos is a proof of his existence. We can only say that it is a proof of his attributes. The cosmos signifies only that there is a reality who is the designer and regulator, which is the Rab. But you do not have a proof that such a reality exists and is living and controlling all affairs. You cannot sense and perceive this creator through reason or by inspecting his handiwork, the universe and his laws. The ultimate proof of his existence comes only through his self-disclosure and when he unveils and speaks. This is why Allah says he is the knower of the seen and the unseen. He's the knower of the seen and the unseen. He's the determining factor of things in the universe exist. So stay away from people thinking that other things exist greater than Almighty God Allah. Stay away from that. It says Allah's Rububiyyah is constantly providing means for the self-disclosure, the wahi, or ilham, that gives you the knowledge about him and the certainty of his existence. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in Surah 10, verse 34, say, it is Allah alone who leads to the truth. Is then he who leads to the truth more worthy to be followed, or is he assumed to be God that cannot find the way himself unless he is guided? What then is the matter with you? How do you judge? The truth, the Al-Haq, is he alone. Be sure, his revelation, his unveiling, his speaking is the only definite source that provides you the absolute certainty you need of his presence. At times, the alam, the realm of misguidance, disbelief, and transgression flourishes. The earth becomes dark and dead. The light of faith is pulverized under the affliction. Then Allah brings forth another alam, realm, and the dead earth throbs with fresh life. Oh, subhanAllah. I want to read a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I read and I came across today, inshallah, just hopefully I have this hadith that the Prophet talks about this in detail, excuse me, and we don't have much time, subhanAllah, shaitan, I'm going to read it. Allah said, I mean, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, abusing a Muslim is transgression, and fighting against him is kufr. This takes you out of the fold of Islam, brothers and sisters. When one stops praying, this also takes you out of the fold of Islam. You lose the protection of Almighty God Allah. I wanted to say that because it has to do with what we are talking about tonight right here. You cannot be guided without Allah. I cannot be guided without Allah. My listening audience can't be guided without Allah. No one can be guided without Allah. We need Allah, and Allah don't need us. But we need him. We must understand that. We must come to that realization that we need Allah. And we can have several talks, but in order for us to grab anything from these talks is that we have to believe in Allah first. All we're doing is reminding you and ourselves about what Allah and how important Allah is to life itself. So, Allah says, say it is there any one of you, your associate partners with God, who starts the cycle of creation and then continues it. Say it is Allah who starts the cycle of creation and then continues it, whether there are you being deviated away from the truth. Allah says, and his last verse that I'm going to speak tonight is, it is Allah alone who sends forth the winds, and they raise the vapors to form in cloud, which he spreads out in the sky as he will, and sets a layer upon layer, and you see the rain falling from its midst. And no sooner does he cause it, the divine revelation, to fall on whom he will of his servants, then the people are filled with joy because of the glad tidings. So shortly before it was sent down upon them, they were in a state of despondence. Look, therefore, at the evidence of Allah's mercy, how he breathes life into the earth, making it green after its state of death. Brothers and sisters, I pray Allah that you got something from what we said tonight. We talked about, we didn't even go into, even finish the first mercy of Allah. And inshallah, if you tune in on Thursday, we will continue to talk about the mercy, this Rabbiyah. Then we'll talk going to Rahmaniyah, the second divine grace. I pray Allah that all our God is and protect us and show us mercy. Remember, tune in, look at my Facebook page. I will tell you the next time we'll come together, and also speak on Friday evening at 8 o'clock on another Blog Talk Radio. If you need anything, my brothers and sisters, please get in contact with us. Contact with us at 908-821-7058. Inshallah, we'll try to help you. We'd like to greet you in the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And we wish everyone a very, very good day.